Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello, it's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
You guys, what the heck?
Whoa.
That's in sync today.
That's called stereotype or stereo.
In stereo.
Yeah, not quite a stereotype. I'm just going to stay away from that one.
Yeah.
This is awesome. So just jumping in today, I can't believe it's already the end of October. Where has the month gone? It has just zoomed by for me. I don't know. How about you guys? Is it going quick as well?
Yeah.
Do you have the Halloween things picked out? Do you guys do Halloween trick-or-treating stuff?
We do. We have a friend who's now up the road that does a huge shebang. He kind of coordinates his daughter's birthday, who's near here, to the day.
Yeah.
And then does quite the driveway, you know, trick-or-treat and parent trick-or-treat thing.
Yeah.
So we were there last year, and now, like, he's up the road. So he and I are...
are you collabing on it? Is it a collab? We're
collabing. Which is funny, because for many new people who join us on the podcast or do YouTube, I always get what one character a lot.
Yes.
When people are like... Is that Walter White?
Like, that's true.
So we are doing Breaking Bad. He's going to be Jesse Pinkman.
Oh, how appropriate.
That's... We're
going to be doing Walter White in our yellow suits. And
that's so good.
Blue jello things. And yeah,
that's awesome.
So it'll be fun. What about you guys?
The PG version.
The PG version, for sure.
PG version, yes. Tommy, what are you doing?
I can't believe it's the end of the month. I've been saying... I feel like I was like, yeah, I started my own thing like a month ago or 2 months ago now. Like, it's really been flying by with the progress. But yeah, my wife is the one who loves Halloween and the dress up. Like, in college, like her and her friends would put together the most extravagant, awesome costumes. Like, they were like Captain Planet once. And I'm and then like what my buddies and I did, we're like, we're going to be 80s basketball players. So we just all got mustaches and goggles. So not really into it. So I don't want to say fighting, but the family obviously likes Halloween, the kids. So, and I hate dressing up. So, like, there's always a theme. It's always got to be everyone. So, like, it's Moana this year. So, Sarah compromised with me a bit. So, I don't have to do anything too extravagant. Actually, it's going to be Halloween before, right? So, before our next podcast.
Yes, it will be.
So that means that we should have shown our costumes today.
I'm going as a Microsoft MVP. That's what I'm going as my costume for this year.
This is, besides maybe some different glasses and a yellow suit, like, this is it.
This is basically it. Tommy's got his costume. He pulled it out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Daddy Shark.
Well, no, in Moana he becomes a shark head. He's like half shark, half man.
Love it.
So, anyways,
that's good.
Fun.
Awesome. So we had a little side conversation yesterday after our podcast on Tuesday, and I want to bring this up. So we got a really good feedback. One comment. I don't know, Tom. Do you have the comment by chance still handy? I think you framed it and put it on your wall somewhere nearby. I think that's what happened. I'm not quite sure there. Do you have it by chance handy?
I don't have the link, but I do have it up. Yeah.
Okay. So Tommy, go ahead and read us this comment yesterday. This came in on Thursday. I thought this was actually hilarious.
We have our narrator here. Do you have it up, Seth, at all or no?
No.
So, okay. It's on Teams. Because, I mean, if we have a voice in this
podcast. There's a narrator,
you have a voice, right?
Yeah. I want my guy from Audible.
Yeah, we need my Audible guy for this one. Okay, are you able to get to it, Seth?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Okay. In perspective, I've only listened on the Google podcast as I'm driving and never seen you folks before. Today, YouTube, and just a visual perspective here, watching for the first time. Tommy, I'm on your side. Seth and Mike tend to pick at you. However, you mentioned the importance of color on reports, and I got some flack. As I watched the video, Seth and Mike have LED color backgrounds in their video. Tommy, I think you're onto something. Colors do have significance. all kidding aside, I've enjoyed listening to each one's perspectives from the beginning of Explicit Measures podcasts. Keep up the good work. I'm learning.
Awesome. Well, we very, very much appreciate the positive comments. Super appreciate the feedback.
Me especially.
There's like, I think we need like, you know, are you team Tommy? Are you team Seth? Or are you team Mike? So I was kind of curious here as we're going through this chat here today, if you don't mind, comment in the chat channel. Do you have a favorite team? Are you guys all, I'm going to say everyone's going to be team Tommy here. I can see it already.
No, I bet it's Seth.
My direct feedback to Tommy pasting this was what I got out of that comment was blah, blah, blah. You need colored background. Come that's on, Tommy. True. Like, well, get with the program.
The only reason I said it is that's not the first time people said, yeah, people getting up on you. Kind of thing.
Oh, we got a team Seth. We got some team Seth landing. Boom. Goodness. One for Seth. So anyways, super fun comment. Really appreciate the feedback. And now we're now picking sides, apparently. If you watch Dude Perfect, there's always like different teams that they kind of form around Dude Perfect guys as they, you know, do stunts and throw things. They throw things on the internet. Who knew if you could just throw things on the internet, you'd be able to make $1 million in a YouTube channel.
The guy who never wins those challenges.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Awesome. Couple other announcements kind of across the community that we found kind of show up here. A really interesting tool has appeared. It's been out for a little while, I think, but it's been kind of recently on the radar. It's called the Measure Killer, I guess is what you would call it. And it's a .NET program that or an external tool that you can use to download and go through your Power BI file and try to remove unused elements. Is that kind of how the gist of it is, Tommy?
Yeah, so it's a lot of the tools that we've talked about. Ike Friedman's tool with the basically like looking through all the field finder. But Imke. This is Imke. There's been a few other tools out there that have kind of like there's a few steps you have to take to kind of see what you can delete. This just does it for you, basically. If you're going through your model and you really are like someone just delete what I don't need. I don't care, or I want to manage this a lot quicker. I mean, this is the tool for you. So
yeah,
it's
idea.
A phenomenal idea. So yeah.
When they started opening up a bunch of extra things on the internet, they did a lot around the XML endpoint, being able to connect to it or being able to open up and modify the model definition inside desktop from external tools. This was like a really big leap forward in being able to like all these external tools can now leverage this. There's a lot of other ideas around how would I clean the model? What does that look like? So I think this is a really big moment for Microsoft when they started opening up the tool a little bit more to external tools. And this is the kind of stuff you're going to get, things that are going to help you make things more efficient. The downside of this is there's usually like six ways to do something. So which tool is the best tool? And that really becomes more of the challenge. How do you get all the tools and find, how do you stay in tune with what is the most recent tool that's out there that you can use to clean up stuff? So anyways, very interesting idea. Like the idea there. One other idea that came out this week, Power Query SDK was recently announced. So
well, they've had Power Query SDK in the past, but now that's correct.
A new version, right?
And with VS Code, which is a huge step forward.
Yes. So describe more about this one, Tommy. What is this Power Query? You know, is it an add-in? Is it, you know, maybe talk a bit more about what it's
doing. Yeah, so it's a VS Code extension. And in the past, this is all only Visual Studio. And I think Microsoft realized with the adoption of VS Code, the ability to create your own custom connector. And again, that managed Visual Studio code, that's already intimidating for someone who has not been in that for years. But now we can manage and create custom connectors for our organization all within VS Code. And his last name.
Ribaldo?
He's on the Chicago User Group, and he has a great series on the magic of how Power Query thinks. But so he kind of really runs through some of the big changes, how to get started. So if your organization is really looking for something company-wide for a custom connector rather than using, you know, that web API connection, you can create this all in VS Code. So this is, honestly, for a lot of organizations, a big step forward.
Yeah, I think so. And again, bringing things into an actual development space where you can really leverage it and use it makes a lot of sense, I think. Totally dig this one. Excellent. With that, let's talk about kind of today's topic today. So I kind of want to lead with an image that was sent to me about just in general thinking through community and what community drive, what kind of drives community. This could be community at some, you know, inside your local network. It could be something that's like your family community type stuff, or it could be like a community that you're a part of on the internet. I mean, this is kind of, I think, a broad topic here, but what I think I want to focus in or narrow in a little bit on the topic here is just focusing on maybe Power BI community and how this graphic or infographic you guys have observed how communities have changed through the Power BI ecosystem. So let me throw the link out here real quick here. It's a Twitter link, and there's actually a really interesting, it looks like what would you call this one? A mental map, a mind map? Is that what they call these things?
Mind map
is what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so mind maps for communities. And let's see what people think about this one. So I just threw the link out there. Everyone should be able to get it, I hope. It's like it's on YouTube now. Yeah, so I'd like to get your guys' impression on this graphic. And what do you think about community and design of communities? And I'll kind of maybe be a bit more specific. I'm going to give a little bit of a history here, right? The Power BI community has kind of gone through a couple of transformations. Maybe we should talk a little bit about how we got involved initially. You know, Seth and I got really excited about Power BI independently. We didn't know each other at the time. Seth was working somewhere. I was working somewhere. We both kind of liked Power BI. And there was an announcement, I think, made from Microsoft. I think it was like an email or something that was sent out. When they were starting up community groups, and a company they had hired called Dynamic Communities, which was, I think, initially a community group that was around Dynamics 365, was brought in to kind of help build the Power BI community. And so in lieu of that, that's kind of how my first start into community work began. I kind of found this Dynamic Communities, you know, area. I found a forum online. I found that there was a Milwaukee user group. And I started participating there. What was your guys' first kind of interaction around community with Power BI?
Yeah, if you told me that I would be part of a technological community 10 years ago, I wouldn't believe you.
You would have laughed in our face.
Yeah. I would have just like, that's not for me. It just didn't sound appealing at all. But yeah, we went to a conference in New York. It was a world tour, and it's probably in 17. And yeah.
And that was also dynamic
yeah,
community,
that,
right?
They were on my dynamics leading, because they were the core for communities, and I really enjoyed it. And it was the first time I actually met Greg Baldini. And went to his one of amazing sessions and went to a few sessions, and I was talking to someone. They're like, hey, we actually need someone who can work on the Tampa user group. And I said, why not? And that really started like an incredible windfall or incredible like journey into communities with conferences. Met you guys through it, met Chuck Sterling. And that is the networking and then the engagement of the user group to build it from kind of the ground up, almost, where we had like 10 people our first one, we started getting 30. And then,
I think that's a good point, Tommy. I think the Power BI, and I think initially it was called Power BI UG, right? User groups is basically what it was starting as. So that's kind of was my first interaction with it. And then it kind of, it changed at some point. Microsoft kind of came in and decided to make their own community group, and the Power BI Dynamics community kind of just, well, in my mind, kind of just there,
what
faded
was Seth's
a bit.
Journey? Seth, you
oh,
started,
yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking specifically like user groups are the community, but I would almost argue that those are just part of it. The introduction to if we're talking about the Power BI community ecosystem, which we've all been part of to some degree, right? Mine started on the online community, like the site, right? Which was more of a question and answer assistance support, but at the same time, they were doing, you know, blogs or you know, other things that would engage a community. And that's where user groups also started, right? So like to me, that's a component of a larger community, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was one of I think the first got into a competition
very early,
right? Like
very
with
early,
all
yeah.
the folks on yeah. the community of like who's answering the most questions, because the volume of questions came in all the time, right? So I was one of the guys that always was answering questions. I loved it because it was also a learning experience, right? And that's where plugging in and creating user groups started, and why I jumped into that right away, because I was like, I had just peaked of like doing SQL Saturday, like starting to go to SQL Saturdays, which was a very big thing with PaaS at the time. And the Power BI user groups, like we actually linked up and connected with a local like MS, Microsoft Business Intelligence PaaS user group. So we kind of combined them for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went off on our own after a couple of years. But like to me, that's like that my journey into it was definitely mostly online events, right? And then getting involved in the user group, which I think are all like components of a healthy community, and need to be, you know, when we're looking at this like kind of intentional community design kind of mind map.
Yeah. That's a great point that you make there, Seth, because I think the community you're responding to, so there was a technical community forum board that was around asking questions and answering questions, more like a discussion board. And then there was dynamic communities at the time. And both those communities were kind of, you look now, it's great to go back to the communities inside the Microsoft community or their discussion board, basically. There's almost a million questions or a million discussions inside Power BI Desktop at this point. So the community has just really jumped on and asked a ton of questions across the product, I guess, at that point.
If you don't mind me asking, with both communities, the online community forums and both the user groups, because that's a really great distinction. What was the value that you saw going into engaging into it? Because obviously you wouldn't join it and you wouldn't continue to be a part of it if there wasn't something you're getting out of it.
All right. So I think you're touching on something, Tommy, here that is a bit more about this diagram now. So if what I think you're looking at here is, if I look at the intentional community design graphic that's kind of shown here, kind of speaking, what are the outcomes? What was your expectation when you showed up? What was an expected outcome of what that community was going to do for me? Is that kind of where you're going with that question?
Yeah, like obviously we're not all altruistic when are on the community side.
Yeah.
So there's something that we're like, if I'm going to continue to dedicate time, I would tell attendees this all the time. Our members said, thank you for coming. You're coming after work for work on a work week to learn about work. So we want to make it worth your while. So, you know, and that's a dedication, right? But obviously it's because there's some value that you're getting out of it.
I think so. Seth?
Yeah. So like rephrase your question. Yes, there has to be value there for people.
Yeah. So what was the value? Yeah. Is the
value? What was your value though? Like right. Specifically, like what did you, like when you went to the community, what value did you get from
what
it?
What were you hoping to get out of it? I think maybe.
I got a friend out of it. That's what I got.
I got two
friends.
maybe just one.
One of them I just like to tease. One of them I should be a friend with.
We're making divisions. Our pictures should be touching here. Why is there a border? Why are we divided?
Why are you trying to say something? Built a wall between us. Yeah. I feel like there's a wall. Let me phrase, what did you perceive the value to be? Not necessarily what you actually got out of it, but when you started, what were you, I guess, hoping to? What were you expecting to?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that drives at what you're trying to create in the why of your community. Like, how do you compel people to get engaged? So there's for me personally, it was learning. For the most part, because the question, the volume of questions coming in, you never know everything, right? So I had a way of learning a lot about the administration, the setup, I need to know all the pieces and see how they all fit together. DAX was a huge weak spot, and there, like, that was a known language that many people knew much better than I do and still do. But back in the day, like, a large swath of questions were all in that vein. So by taking those questions, going and testing, doing it, figuring out the answer, even if I wasn't the first to the answer, I like that was a huge learning thing for me. Plus, I just wanted to be part of the community, right? Like, I had SQL Pass and Sequel Saturdays had driven, like, kind of burnt, like, started up the passion of, like, being part of something bigger than myself. So I'd started speaking and wanted to, like, help people out. And, like, this was a technology that I loved. And, like, my engagement path was, like, I suppose, you know, learning and being part of, you know, something that was starting to build.
Mm-hmm. I think when I think about this question here, right, why would I engage in some of the community pieces? I engaged in, like, the community answering. I answered a couple of questions. I did a couple of things on, like, the galleries. I was more about sharing content or things that I thought I was finding interesting. But I really, I mean, if you Google anything, just Google anything around Power BI, likely there's always articles that are popping up from the discussion boards around Power BI. I mean, if I have a problem and I get into a bind on something, there's something in that area, in the communities area, that I'm looking for, searching to find, to go engage with it. So I think for me, a lot of the community part from the discussion board area was finding information. So I participated in areas where I knew the information. I was getting information from it. I was learning. And so therefore, I felt like I was able to contribute back to that community by sharing what I knew about certain areas of the tool, like themes, some of the styling stuff, some of the techniques we were using around, like, bookmarks and things. I felt like that was an area where I could contribute back into the community. And
yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead, Tommy. Yeah, go, Tommy. I was going to make another point, but that's probably good enough for that point.
No, I'm kind of with you where I kind of came in, rather than from attendee to leadership, I kind of came in guns blazing, from a leadership point of view. And it was more, the mindset was more, what value are people going to get? Mm. I always come into, if I was sitting there, would I be upset at the end of it? Where I was like, this is, oh, why did I, like, and because
did I waste my time?
Did I waste my time? And
yeah.
Yeah. Because I've been to, like, things even during work, and it was like a 2-hour thing. I remember going, I would be so angry because, yeah, like, the person was boring. The session's like, I always had the mindset of, like, if again, to the, what I would always say after every user group, to dedicate your time to get some value out of it. And I think that value, to your guys' point, learning something new or learning something that how to do it in a unique form, but also that networking side where you cannot get that anywhere else, especially back in the time. But that was always the mindset. I really never came in from an attendee point of view. Now, the forum side, I think, Seth, you are maybe the most distinct out of all of us because how much you contributed there. Mm-hmm. Like, I go there to consume mostly, you know.
Yeah.
But you went there and you spent a lot more time to contribute.
Yeah, I just felt like that's what I enjoyed doing, though. Like, I just kind of pushed into what I liked learning at that point in time. I think now I do more consuming, but before I was doing a lot more, like, teaching.
Yeah.
So those are, like, I think our paths in are much more on the contribution side. But at the same time, I look at this graph and I'm like, how do you hook people, right?
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. Yeah.
Right. Like, what's the value for end users? Like, I'm glad people find value on our show because, you know, they keep coming back and there must be some tidbits.
All five of you. You love it.
Fantastic. Right.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you coming back every time.
But consistently, like, I guess, and I'm not nitpicking, but we're talking in general about the Power BI community. But what, like, a successful component of that, I would say, would be the main community site, like, where it's community.powerbi.com, because the value I think people find there is it's a great search engine. There's an immense wealth of knowledge.
Correct.
People are constantly active and answering and asking questions. Mm-hmm. And then when you search things, you, like, there's a lot of different answers, but you can sort by what's the most relevant, right? So as the tool has changed over time, like, that's a very, like, that's a fantastic resource now for a larger body of people to engage with, and you're centralizing a lot of information around that, but also driving a lot of the offshoot things that they do really well in there.
Yeah.
Versus, I would say, one of a potential area of opportunity would be a component that they created, like ideas.powerbi.com.
It's an area where we were
huge proponents of.
Yep.
But the challenge with something like that is, When you're engaging and asking external users or the members of your community to provide you feedback in a forum where you're going to say it's going to be evaluated and potentially incorporated, like you can't have things from 2018 that are still in progress in review.
Yes.
You know, like, because then what's going to happen is immediately the value is no longer there for the community and they're not going to input into it anymore. Right.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So it becomes one of these branches that's not going to be successful because it's not getting any lifeblood from the main source. And I think that is, and I don't want to, like, I'm not bringing that up to poo-poo. I'm just saying, like, there are so many components that are outlined even in this graph of like an intentional community. And if you're going to spring off something to be part of the community, you have to support it in some way.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, yeah. It's a potential area where your communities are going to fail, which if you do any research online looking at communities, they're very difficult to like spring up and sustain and continue to grow and build. But those are like potential areas where it's like, well, if your entire platform was that page and you didn't engage, that probably would in and of itself would have been a failed community, right? So,
yeah. And you raise a very interesting point, even though you're talking about ideas at Power BI that I think are incredibly similar with a normal user group. Anyone who's going or consistently going back wants their voice to be heard, wants to be able to make a difference, whether they're there to consume, but they have something to say. And whether it's not necessarily to the entire group, but they're there with their own thoughts. And I think when ideas at Power BI was very active is people saw they would put an idea or vote for something. Then they immediately something would change. Like, yeah. Wow, I made a difference.
Yeah. And you got an email, right? Like, your idea got updated. Right. Like, it's
yeah.
Or even progress. Something
voted There's for. A little bit of feedback right. loop there.
Even if
yeah.
you voted right. for it. And so you yep. felt like you felt mm-hmm. like you were a cog in
you were contributing.
In the user.
You were part of, right. You were part of an ideas engine.
An important
creating
part
the tool
of it.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say the same token on site user groups when we were doing the Chicago user group downtown, like we would obviously have a session, but the other half was conversations. One of yes. the guys there made stickers for the user group, you know, like, and so we have like 100 Chicago Power BI user group stickers. And it was the ability where afterwards people would be talking, we go through JSON files or something.
That was huge. That is like the energy that comes with a community or a group like that. Like when people are starting to like want to wear a badge of honor around that community, that
but
group.
Because I
people,
can make a difference.
You can make a difference. And I feel right. like it's that value add. It's that, you know, I have empathy. I have relationships there. Community is way more than just answering questions and getting problems solved. I mean, that's probably a part of the community. But as you guys are speaking about like ideas.com, ideas.power.com, you know, your user group, Tommy, and I think about, you know, there's like the macro, there's the micro version, micro, macro, the micro version of like user groups or community, right? There's these links that are happening in pockets across the US, user groups locally meeting. And that kind of, I think the pandemic screwed all that up just because we weren't able to meet in person and we kind of had to like retool a little bit. And then there's like the macro version, like the whole thing, like going to big conferences. There's a once a year conference for all of the Power Platform type stuff. What does that community look like? And I think what you're seeing right now is there's some kind of evolution, or it's, you know, certain parts of these communities are thriving. Like ideas.powerbit.com was a really good and thriving area for a period of time. And then it kind of just things changed. The, you know, the support kind of went away and that part of the community kind of like shrank in size. It's not as impactful as we think it once was. And we moved on to other places where there's now new communities that are having that new energy that are attaching to them. So kind of like it yeah. ebbs and flows a little bit.
And we can transition to why they fail, but it's a really good transition to why they fail when we speak about dynamics. When the pandemic happened, the Chicago user group, we were doing Teams, right? And it was like a live chat, it was a webinar. And it was hard at the beginning, the first 2-3 months, because no one was really could contribute. There was a Q&A, but you know, there's really nothing for people outside of the session. When we joined with you guys to do the YouTube and then the after hours, that's honestly, I without minting words, that's kind of what saved it, because it allowed people to have a voice after to contribute to the topic at hand, the discussion at hand.
Yeah, that's when the fun stuff happens.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's no free food now. I can't get free food.
There's no free food, but there's still a venue and there's still an avenue for someone if they want to contribute or speak their mind. Mm-hmm. They can't. That would did not exist to beginning on the on-site one, which is a big one. And I will poo-poo dynamic communities because I was so upset when it failed because it was such a big part of my life.
So I think the aspect of user groups, right? And this is why I kind of say it's, to me, it's part of this, is that social aspect, right? Like there's, I love the online community. And I think people have adapted over the last couple of years of chats are a thing, right? More so than they were pre, you know, everything. Where there's a level of engagement that people get of like-mindedness, right? Like, yes. And I think that's part of the community enthrallment of people, right? Is like, you centralize around, in our case, it's a technology. We love the tool. I think what's interesting about this is like, there's so many different backgrounds that use the same tool. And that also just enhances the engagement levels between, you know, individuals, but like the interaction that you get at events or, you know, Power BI, you know, user groups and those things are extremely valuable from a networking perspective, right?
Yes.
And I think a huge component of an active community is having those abilities to engage. The other thing that like I do want to touch on that is interesting in kind of the rise and fall of dynamic communities is I believe, you know, there to me there was almost a, you know, maybe it was trying to be its own community on top of a community that was still centralized around the repository of information on the community site. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you almost had like a conflicting areas of different ideas of how to create a community going on, and it was disjointed. It just didn't work out. But I mean, even when things don't work out from the end user perspective, at least there's some value that came with us, right? Like we got to meet each other and we were engaged and we got to, you know, there were a lot more events for folks, and that interaction is always a positive thing because that's how things like this happen.
And I'll throw another one in here that you guys were talking and it reminded me of something else. You guys remember the Data Insight Summit? Did you go to the original one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Item, topics seven. Man, I cannot talk today. I am Porky Pig today. This is the 75th time we've talked about the Data Insight Summit.
Oh, yeah. Thomas, yeah. He's a little ticker. He's tracking the words we say about that one. But I remember like the initial Data Insight Summit, that was an initial start off of a community that I thought like, oh man, this is really cool. There's a lot of like-minded people. We're talking about everything was very relevant to what I was talking about. And I was like, this is so exciting. And so the Data Insight Summit kind of, they did 2 years of the Data Insight Summit. It was very focused on Excel and Power BI. And then it quickly turned into this like, okay, your whole Power Platform and Power Apps and Power Automate. And then Dynamics kind of came in. And I remember the year where they kind of really did a big push for like Dynamics. Like it was Dynamics and Power BI, right? So it, like the whole community had adjusted. And again, it was probably potentially merging two communities, but there was two different cultures, I think, at the time that were merging together. And this didn't necessarily quite fit the needs of all those users. And for me, when I go to conferences, I wanted to like be able to be engaged in conversations or in sessions that were like pushing me, challenging me, getting me to a point where I'm like, I don't just need to know how to click buttons on a screen. What are the edge cases? What are the performance tuning things? Where's the stuff that I'm learning and growing with? In addition to like, okay, there's some basic tracks, I just won't go to those. But there was no food for me to kind of like chew on and get better with. So
and better yet, go back and forth with people.
Exactly. Well, and I wanted to meet with other experts that were doing different or better or, you know, things that were outside of my sphere so I could, talk with them and beat up ideas. That's where really good ideas come from.
The funnest thing that, Mike, you did in Houston was find another Power BI pro.
Yeah, we did.
But if you think about it, that like this is actually a perfect example, I think, of as we're talking about this, some of the disengagement that we've all talked about, right?
Correct.
Is if you think about events being a cog or part of an intentional community design, the Data Insight Summit was very strong in that intentional community build scenario where we're building Power BI. It's this thing. If you look at the success of PaaS, it was PaaS SQL Saturdays. SQL.
Yes. Yeah,
everything
exactly right.
Revolving around SQL. Yep. And then, like, if you look at Data Insight Summit, that was Power BI. It was business intelligence. It was how does this reporting tool work within the business and everything around that. And then you introduce the dynamic communities. And it's like, well, that's dynamics, right? And then all of a sudden, like the next year you go and people are, you want to talk about Power BI or the community that you're part of and you want to engage and meet people. And it
kind of shrinks.
All of a sudden, the vast majority of the people there were like, what's Power BI?
And you're like,
what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was, that's very jarring from a, well, I want to engage with people and learn from people and do things. And that's where I think it was an interesting decision. But if you look at community design and events supporting and building that engagement, I think that was a poor choice, right? Yeah. Like trying to mix and mash instantly two massive groups without a hello. This is the new neighbor on the block. You might want to invite them in. Right. And here's, they're going to take up 40% of the sessions now, you know, instead of like a full conference around everything that you want to learn about as a community. And then all of a sudden the next conference is 10%.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's where I loved the newly version Data Insights in Chicago.
Under new management now.
Under new management.
That Reza threw, because like it was,
I really liked it.
What was it, a mega event? No.
No.
But there were like a couple hundred, 200-300 people that everybody was there for the same reason. And I had better connections in that small window of time than I did in some of the other really massive events.
Big conferences. I would totally and I hope that's kind of what my hope here is, right? So when a community fails, right, or a community merges or something changes in the community, right, the people that are passionate about that kind of like disperse and they reorganize into other communities. And so now the challenge becomes, okay, well, what happened when the original Data Insight Summit kind of dispersed into, you know, the ether? It kind of dissolved essentially. Where do those people go? If those people are really motivated about community, they will figure out how to build out new communities that are exciting in the same way that the original one was.
And it could still work having the power platform of dynamics at a conference, but it's the track. And a big part of community too, especially in our space, is the identity. The first time that you spoke to someone, they're like, don't you hate when you build a report, no one uses it? And all you can hear is, you're not alone.
It's crickets when you go to those bigger conferences. No, now you're
but I'm saying the first time you actually talk to someone else and they can share that frustration or that empathy, you're like, I'm not alone. And so having that, and you realize that's identity. That's someone else who's sharing your experience, maybe farther ahead, maybe right there with you. And to have, whether you're a developer or you're front facing, whatever, I think in this technological space, because we're dealing with so many hats, being able to share, getting the value of a conference or a user group, like the sessions, the content, but then being able to share in those same moments. Like, I mean, guys, that's why we got together and became friends, was because we shared a lot of the experiences, but we all had our different point of view. And it was to use the word without using a pun, like it was dynamic between the three of us, because we're like, I know what you mean, but I disagree, kind of thing. And and just having that kind of engagement was a huge part. And dynamics, their kind of fall from grace, so to speak, was, I think, part two from a leadership point of view, the lack of support.
Dynamics got, during the pandemic, I mean, you mean dynamics communities, or are you talking about dynamics? I'd agree with that one. And then I think it got bought out halfway through. I think Dynamics Communities went through a big restructure at some point, because
they had a whole bunch of, they didn't get buyout.
Okay. Because their main part of I mean, this is another thing around with communities that are like public facing, right? Many of those communities were all built around on-prem, in-person, larger events. And that's where they made their money for the year. So like a lot of
the money drivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Most of the community is being driven by, you know, the community portion is not making money in the running the website or the community or the discussion forums on the online side. It's when those real events came up. And so having major tours, you know, hey, this is the European Dynamics event, this is the US event, this is the South America event, like when they were popping up these major events, that's where they made their big money, because they got everyone in the, in this large community to jump on board and show up. And so I think those tickets were not cheap to go to, but that's, you know, that's how they made their money. And when that dried up from the pandemic, I think that really, you know, pinched a lot of what they were doing, and they had to really tighten the purse strings and figure out a new system. And I feel like also, Tommy, there was a big rebuild on the Dynamics community's site that went really bad for me. I did not like it. I couldn't find anything. Again, it, like, to me, the user experience, it felt a little bit like what happened with the ideas that PowerBI.com to some degree.
It became all consumption. There was no contribution. So it was all like, here's new article. Here's articles people are writing.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a great point. Yeah. The feedback loop was gone. The community side of individual user groups went away. So if I was looking for Chicago user group, it was hidden. It wasn't the forefront.
Yeah.
And it was all about these articles. I'm like, I can get articles anywhere on Power BI. Like, why would I go here?
Exactly. I think that's another thing that I find a little bit of a struggle right now, even the way it stands right now. I mean, Microsoft has rebuilt what, you know, kind of Dynamics would have been. Here's a home for all the user groups. But even in that, I still struggle to find groups. If I was traveling somewhere and had to go look up a user group, I could probably go there. But like, there's a weird, like, half the groups are in like Meetup, half the groups are using like PowerBI.com, the communities.powerbi.com user groups area. But I don't feel like there hasn't been enough tooling or engagement. I mean, even in our user group, the Milwaukee one, no one messages us, sends a thread, chats us. We
kind of do our own thing.
We kind of do our own thing now, because the tool was not made for user group leaders, and it wasn't made easy enough for me to like link or, you know, connect into that event. Right? We manage our own events whenever we do them, and if you can make a single place where you can just host these events, and then it just kind of just gets distributed to all these different areas. Like, I'm thinking like Sessionize to some degree.
Yeah. Right.
Sessionize is a great place to, you know, organize.
That's a good point about like tooling, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it makes a big difference.
If you think about it, like we're on the spectrum of like, yeah, we're just crazy and we love doing all this stuff all the time, and we've created enough of that it's an easy path for us to spool up a bunch of things online. Most folks aren't like that, and neither were we when we started, right?
Correct.
So the easier you can make it for people willing to start user groups is have good tooling, have good ways for them to reach out to an audience.
Yeah. Make it easy for me to make a meeting.
Exactly.
To communicate with them.
I think that is something that is an undertone in a lot of this conversation, is the tooling just wasn't there to hook into potentially like some of the stuff out there that was already doing good job marketing to people, or letting people know that events were in certain areas, or making it easy for user group leaders to like create and set up something, you know. So tooling is a huge aspect of it, I think, of how you successfully get all of, you know, these people and pieces of things hooked together managing that voice, or like getting it out to the masses kind of thing through social media, through all the eventing stuff, because that shouldn't be the volunteer's responsibility, right?
Yes.
Their responsibility should be, okay, here's my user group. I need to find a good speaker. I need to find a venue. Who do I work with? And like, when you can help facilitate that,
correct,
or create bodies of people that can feed off of each other, right? Like, who loves speaking? Hey, here's my group of people. Like, is there a tool that lets these group of people sign up via like Sessionize or, you know, some other thing?
Whatever other tool you want, doesn't matter. Yeah.
It makes it easy for them to say, oh, I'm going to be in this area. This user group needs a speaker here. Like, yeah, I'll go speak if they want this topic. Done.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of that, I think, is needs to be there for big, you know, communities to be well-oiled machines and really start linking people up in the peripheries, right? Because in these branches, and I'd love to see if there is a mind map of like what the Power BI community is, right? And even where I think MVPs fit in, like, are we part of that as a branch, or are we just like marketing folks driving people in to engage in a technology that we love?
Interesting.
Just to some degree, like, we're advocates for this technology, and Microsoft like rewards people with an MVP and says, hey, thank you for being a technical leader in the space, but to some degree, we feel we're part of the community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like at what branch, you know, is that? But anyway, tooling was the main point that I think needs to be part and could cause, you know, communities to fail.
And there's to that point, there's been a few things on the chat too. So I've been in a very unique circumstance where I basically became a leader of two dead user groups. The Tampa and the Chicago were 6 months, 10 months where they weren't started and it's kind of building from the ground up.
Do I see a trend here? Is this a trend, Tommy?
I'm the user group revival guy. So
you revived the user group guy.
No,
okay.
No. It was like they started, they haven't met for like 6-9 months.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you came into the user group and it died.
I like to kill them. Yeah, I like to stop. I like to say, what are you guys doing here? We're done.
We're done. we're going to have deep dish pizza only. We're going to eat deep dish. That's all we're going to have. The
group didn't meet for a year.
We're cutting out all the cannolis. No more cannolis for anyone.
And then the Chicago was like 6-7 months didn't meet. And I took over. But the big parts, to your point, the tooling, it was like identification and tooling is kind of the culture conversation we had. The first thing I did with both of them, I have a buddy who's an incredible graphic designer. And I wanted like a really good logo. To this day, I still think the Tampa user group logo and the Chicago one are two of the best ones. I'm proud of them, but it
Milwaukee,
was the
Milwaukee Brew City one.
But the goal was, it was something to identify this user group by. And I thought that was really important. So like, if you saw the Chicago or the Tampa has the pirate ship because of the Gasparilla. And so it was pretty cool. And the Chicago one was like the downtown skyline. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to identify. And then it was consistency.
Yes.
It was immediately getting on Meetup where people are at.
And it was making it easy though. Meetup is so easy to like join the community and like it pings you at the right time. It makes it easy for you can, as an organizer, you can just kind of throw stuff into it. And it makes it very simple for people to like pick and choose
people
what they
knew what to expect.
Yes.
So we would do it once a month. A week before, or whenever we scheduled a week before, we sent out a communication on site. You knew where it was, all the information. And then we'd always send the follow-up email. Here's where the files are. Here where the resources are. PBIusergroup.com used to have like a library section, but the tooling was a huge part. But just to that same point, even if it's an inadequate or subpar tooling, if that's where you're at, stay there and be consistent.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? This is going to be a bit edgy here. Maybe not. I don't know. But
hot take.
So I think the Power BI community, in maybe this is just in general, I think from a community standpoint and meeting people in a group, I mean, I think the program called Meetup, I mean, Meetup is a fabulous program. I think it works very well. It's very easy for the organizers to get things together. I think it's very easy to add descriptions. And I think the it's not super invasive, but it's informational enough to let the communities grow. So my first thought is, man, I really like the idea of Meetup. The second thought though is, you know, as I look at Meetup and go, that's an interesting area there. I feel like the only downside I have to Meetup, and particularly around Power BI community groups, is the cost. So if I think about like your user group leaders and getting going, Meetup is like free for anyone who wants to consume a meeting and or go to a meeting or sign up for a meeting. But for the organizers of meetings, there's a cost that's associated with that. And that's the part that I'm like, ugh, man, if it didn't have that aspect. And again, I know there needs to be some sort of barrier here so they make money as this thing goes along. But like, on the other hand of this, Microsoft should have done a much more aggressive approach. And I felt like I was trying to be vocal about this, but I felt like Microsoft should have said, look, Power BI communities, if you guys want to keep running the way you're running, great.
We'll pay.
We'll pay for your meetup. We'll just make it happen. And we'll figure that part out. Or Microsoft is allowed to like retool some things and absorb some communities and just make sure that that thing just runs smoothly. And so like, if you want to use the Microsoft communities page to run your community, great. If you don't, and you want to use the Meetup community page, just use that. And so let people, like, what were the most popular tools that you saw all the events in? It was either Meetup or Dynamic Communities. That's where people were putting their events. And I think Seth and I were only doing it because we knew Microsoft was tracking how much engagement we were getting or doing around the events at Dynamic Communities. And so they were looking at our numbers and saying how many people actually attended. Cause that's how we got Adam Saxton to our user group one time. They looked at our numbers.
That's right.
We were actually writing down how many people were coming, the engagement from our community. And we're like, oh, we submitted it. And like, they'll like Microsoft's like, well, we'll send a person to your user group to go to talk to you. And that's the first time we met Adam and hung out, and there was, he was super sharp. So it was wonderful.
That's the other side of community though, right? Like, and why I think having, if you're doing an intentional community, you have a community manager, right? You have to have some sort of metric tracking of success.
Yes.
And value, right? For
yes.
like what you're saying, if there's a lot of hard work that's involved for a user group or user yes. groups, and you yep. want to, like, one of your metrics is increasing the size of user groups and engagement.
Yes.
The carrot, right, in that mm-hmm. case was fantastic because mm-hmm. it was like one of the names in Power BI was Adam Saxon. And it's like, yeah. we'll send this guy out after a year or whatever the case may be, you know, to the most, you know, popular, not popular, but the most, the user group with the most engagement. Right. Yes. So there's all of a sudden a value thing there. Right.
Correct.
And yes. that engages more people.
Yes.
Right. To mm-hmm. maybe try harder, do different things, et cetera. And I think that's where, this idea that was taught to me from a previous, you know, community manager of Tom Sawyer's Paint My Fence, right? The most successful, I think, communities in general have a method on many different levels to create perceived value for people who want to engage in it, whether it be the people that are running user groups or showing up, right? The people creating all of the content or value within these communities have to find some value in it for themselves. And I think the trick is figuring out where that is and how it is to help yeah. grow and drive engagement from the wider audiences.
Yes.
And
yes.
then maintain that. And yeah. it's no small task, I guarantee you, right? Because we were talking about our specific use case of like the user group. Now, man, like, or, you know, our particular areas of doing community type things. And we know it's not easy, but like, can you imagine like having to have track of all of those pieces all yes. the time?
Yes.
And then throw events where it's really important to have those other things that we haven't talked about, which could kill a community, which mm-hmm. would be those areas of conflict resolution.
Yeah.
Like, people like having code of conduct standards. Like, you want every, like, the larger your community gets, the larger those periphery problems can come in and be very disruptive if you don't have a way to manage those. So lots of kudos to folks like Reza, you know, who's launching yes. out and doing an entire event, because those are the things you have to have in place to ensure that not only is an event successful, but that, you know, those one in a million things don't become extremely disruptive, because they can.
I want to go in here and talk to the chat real quick. Okay, for those Microsofties who may be listening, I don't know if anyone on here is from Microsoft or anyone. I mean, they probably all ignore us and put on the block channel, like, oh, that stupid channel's on again. So, if anyone from
remove
Microsoft
is listening, MVP license here and
delete. Okay, Microsoft, here's your next big multi-billion-dollar idea. Probably not. It's more like probably like, you know, a couple thousand, but whatever. Microsoft, go buy Meetup and merge the Meetup functionality into LinkedIn. I mean, honestly, like, if we're talking like something you need to get your hands on, that would be incredible if you were able to absorb, just leave Meetup the way it is. And anyone who pays for a LinkedIn Pro license by default gets this ability to create communities and make communities around things on LinkedIn. That would, like, this is, to me, this is a buy option. Don't build it. There's a lot of people doing a good job in communities and particularly around Meetup type things. Skip it. Skip building the stuff from scratch. Go buy the solution and integrate it with you, what you already have. That would be huge.
I'm going to go with what Seth said, though, and was, I know people are saying,
are you like, disagreeing with me, Tommy?
Yeah.
Do I have to tease you again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's put a pin in that
Victoria!
One.
I'm going to get my armor on you, Tommy.
Good job, Tommy. Let's just put a pin in that idea right now.
Or to the side. but... when you, this goes back to the point of when there's 100,000 tools out there that yes. do all the same thing, the hardest thing is one place to go. Like, we, the Chicago user group stayed with Meetup because we have 1,200 members.
Yeah.
And that's where people know, like, I'm going to get the email there. That's where I'm going to RSVP. If I'm like, correct. Oh, well, I can do that, or LinkedIn, just because you have options doesn't mean you need to use all your options.
I'm just saying, like, if it's all like one thing at some point, like, you know, so to me, it'd be like, look, there's already a whole bunch of, again, this is a very lofty idea, but like, there's a whole bunch of things happening on Meetup that are really good stuff. Bring it in. Like, hey, I'm already signing into, you know, the Meetup thing. Make it easy for me to sign into just sign into LinkedIn, sure, and I get all the same stuff I ever had. Sure. Like, make it synonymous
against it. Unless they put the investment. The biggest thing is Seth's point. I want to feel part of something, and I also need to know the support that code of conduct of and having that identification of I know when we're going to meet. We're going to meet once a month. I know where we're going to meet. And I know how to find out.
Consistency. Correct.
Consistency. Yeah, I agree. Consistency is the crucible here.
I would say that's probably the weakness of, so let's do final thoughts here because we're kind of around about time now. I would say, you know, why communities fail. And I'm not saying the Power BI community is failing by any means. I think there's been parts of it that have grown, and I think there's parts of it that have shrunk. But I would say, in my observation, looking at the Power BI community, things in the Power BI community that have, for lack of a better term, failed, things that are not doing what they should be doing, I think it's been a technology issue. Right, there's been usually technology changes, and that has then caused people to walk away because it's not as easy to work with things. And then I would say, like, the feedback loop for me was another one. Right, if the part of the community that you're engaging with is not having a proper feedback loop, you're not getting, you're not able to add value and get value out of it. It's not helping, at least that part of the community. Tommy and Seth, what do you think? Let's go, Seth. What do you think? What are your kind of final thoughts here on this one?
Yeah, I mean, if we're speaking specifically about the Power BI community, right? Like, there's always been a strong base of information in the community site itself, which I think it's been its backbone. I love the diversity and the passion that I believe, like, you call it MVPs, but just content creators around Power BI. Like, there's just an immense amount of information and people contributing and building content, which just serves the larger, you know, value base of people who can go and find things. I think utilizing that or publicizing that would be a great advantage of the community site itself, right? Like, wouldn't it be fantastic to have a singular location that lets you know about all the podcasts or all the videos or all the, you know, and then folks can, like, understand and see that there's, you know, content creators creating content like this and like that. And, you know, I think that marketing would be a great idea.
You know what, Seth?
But I love the passion.
You're so smart, Seth. Your idea around the collection of community ideas is absolutely spot on. And I'd love to, in an early fashion, with everything that Power BI Tips does, this is not intentional. This is literally, I'm off the cuffing this one here. I just sent a link out to YouTube. We are attempting to build a collection of all things community driven. Now, it's not quite done yet. It's very early preview. So you guys get the early preview of what's happening here, and we're calling it Community Jam. It's the Community Jam right now. So the idea is, we as Power BI Tips, we love community. We think it's going to be good. We would love to have more people engaging with the various communities, whether it be like ideas.powerbi.com, whether it is the release plan of Microsoft's release plan, figuring out where stuff is. We are going to commit to creating more reports around and generating content that centralizes who's speaking where, what meetup events are occurring. And we're going to go out to the community and help see if we can get people in the community to help us build more content or centralizing this information into a single place. Maybe there'll be a YouTube report where we give up all the links that are related to channels that we love around YouTube. And here's all the latest stuff that's going on. So anyways, I'll present this now. This was kind of early in the works. I couldn't have planned this any better, Seth. You walked right into it. We're going to release a new website. It's already out now. You can go check it out. We're going to keep adding reports to it. Let us know in the chat window if there's any kind of content or areas of content that you would like to know about or have us build reporting around. So far, we have the Power BI release plan, wave 2, kind of all the stuff that Alex Powers built. That's his report. And then I built an ideas.powerbi.com report that kind of just helps you look through a whole bunch of ideas from the Power BI ecosystem. I think it's way more searchable than the current ideas site today. And we're trending the data. We're letting you know, you know, how many ideas are being submitted each year? How many ideas are new or in different states? So if there's other data sets you guys would like us to look at too, you know, send them our way. We would love to build some more of these things.
Nobody is ever going to believe that that wasn't planned.
I know it wasn't.
I know. This is why you put the topic on you, son of a gun.
I didn't. I've been noodling this idea for the last couple of weeks.
I'm glad.
I did.
We always put topics together. Then all of a sudden, hey, someone put a topic on our Tuesday call, our Thursday call. I wonder why that is.
Oh, let's see. Literally not planned at all. This has been an idea I've been noodling for like months, and I finally got around to actually building some stuff. And so it's actually here. It's cool. We got another site. It's so cool. Well, don't worry. Here we go.
We're taking it in that aspect into our
Power BI tips, where community lives. Blah blah blah.
Either way, I think I love for you. The community in general. I think it's fantastic and thriving. And the more users we have interacting with the ecosystem of 100%. People within it and with us is fantastic.
Totally agree. Tommy, any final thoughts that you would say? Like, you know, things that you would things that you've liked about the community or kind of a wrap up thought here?
I like what you're doing there. I think the biggest thing, if you want to kill a community, just don't be consistent. You know, for your attendees, if they can't trust a normal schedule or you being engaged as the leader or as a contributor, it's never going to grow and it will fall apart. I think number one is consistency and having that support from a leader or contributor. And if you don't see that, it's not going to work.
I agree with you there as well. Excellent. Well, I thank you guys very much. I appreciate everyone and the community here around what we've been doing. So everyone's been participating really well. We love your chat in the YouTube comments. Absolutely incredible. Alex Powers, it's nice of you to show up here at the very end. You had a couple comments earlier on that was like, we need a more M community. So Alex, thank you for showing up. Your report is one of the first reports I added to Community Jam around the Power BI release plan. And looking for more good things from Alex. So Alex, I appreciate all the things that you do for community. Everyone else, we really appreciate all the stuff that you do. We love what we're doing here. Our only ask, if you get this free podcast on your audio things or you watch it live, our only ask is find a funny clip something out of here. Go share it on social media, something that you find interesting or found something around the topic we were talking about today. If you work for Microsoft, please go buy Meetup and add it to LinkedIn. We'd love that as well. with that, Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
You can also buy the podcast too, Microsoft, if you want. So,
everything's for sale. Everything's for sale.
I mean, would an advertisement hurt Microsoft? Come on. So, if you like what the heck you're listening to, go on Apple, Spotify, all the things, and make sure to subscribe. You can see all of our 157 episodes. The biggest thing, help us share the word. If you enjoy an ounce of this or a minute of this,
or none of it at all, you just want to complain about it, you can do that too.
If you want to complain, share the word. You can help us grow the community too. So yeah, Microsoft can buy us out.
All right. And everyone, you know, keep jamming on your community. We'll end it there. Thank you all so much. And we really appreciate your time. Oh boy. And yet another tagline. If this community ain't jamming, or if it's not jamming, it's not doing jamming. Talk to you guys later. We'll see you next time.